for one reading in John's Gospel. Chapter 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said unto him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said unto him, "Feed my sheep." He said unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Feed my sheep." So we turn to Peter's letter and the fifth chapter. "The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfastly of the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen." We will look to the Lord to bless the reading of his own precious word, and trust that what we will have brought before us might be for the blessing not only of individuals, but our assemblies gathered to the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You find our brother was speaking about authority. And in this world, you find that there's various authorities. There's national authority. We know that Mr. Greenspan, when he speaks, the stock market either goes up or down. He breathes, they say, and the world almost shatters. So there's economic authority vested in men. Then there's family authority. There's marriage, as our brother has been reminding us, authority. But there's also God-given authority in the assemblies of God's people gathered to His name. And may I suggest to some of our brethren, we thank God for our evangelists. The Lord has raised them up. They're doing a good work. But if there's one thing that's needed amongst God's people today, is to realize that Peter was given that commission by the Lord Jesus Christ concerning the flock of God. One of the things we find today is that the Word of God's being set aside, and the ways of the world are being adopted. And the reason is because these things from the world filter in amongst God's people. We live in an age when, as far as education is concerned, everything seems to be question authority. Well, you'll question God's word to your own detriment. God's word we heard, and rightly so, it hasn't changed, it's current. If all it was a history book, well then we might close it, and then gather together and do every man that which is right in his own eyes. And when we realize the awesome responsibility that the Lord Jesus Christ has vested in those that He will raise up. You find in this chapter, I'll just point it out because I wouldn't want to go over the time, but you'll find there's different kinds of saint in an assembly. You have the elder. You have the younger. Notice them. It's here in chapter 5. Then you have the one who's in anxiety. That is in verse 5. You find that it's in verse 7. There's one who is in trial. Then you find there's some and they're being sifted by Satan. And then you find there's others that need to be strengthened. Now, brethren, who is sufficient for these things? Is oversight, because we've got the three of them here, they're mentioned, let us look at them. You find an elder, not so much as age, but maturity in the Word of God, having matured in the things of God. You have an overseer, and he's a man that bears responsibility or authority in the assembly of God. You have a shepherd, and that gives us the spiritual capacity to be an example and to feed the flock of God. And we get many references in the various scriptures that we will not go into, but I'll run down some of them. You find that elders, it's a special call from God. You find that it's an appointment by the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 20, that's what we find there when the Apostle Paul gathered the elders. He spoke of them as being appointed by the Holy Spirit. You find that the Apostle Paul, when he went out on his missionary work, and I think that there's a divine pattern in the work of God. It's really not just evangelism. But you find when the Apostle Paul was sent on the first missionary journey, as they returned back, they appointed elders in every church. There's the great necessity for elders, for overseers, for shepherds amongst God's people. You find that the scriptures are very clear. I'm not going into them, but I'll give you some references. They're very clear that there is the need of special moral qualifications for God's overseers, for elders. They are men that are apt to teach. You get that in Timothy 3:2. They're men who are mature, not a novice, lest they fall into the snare of the devil. That's 1 Timothy 3:7. You find in Titus 1:7 that he's a steward of the truth of God. And he's to hold fast. He's a man who should be reliable as far as the things of God are concerned. I had an occasion when I was called to a little group of people who are trying to get on the right road and in the right things. And they were talking about this, about responsibility, what were they going to do in authority. I told them I could give them one night. And I went up one night and they went through the qualifications. We want to be alive to what's going on. You may say, well, we don't vote elders in. Well, listen, we don't vote elders in. But let us remember that what an elder is, and the great need of elders today. And I read out the qualifications and gave a little message on it. And then I said, if you want to vote, vote for yourself. There's the door. Now, if you come into these qualifications, you feel the Holy Spirit has called you, I says, there's the door. Let's see who the elders are. There was one man, and he had to be asked to go through the door. And brethren, I love the assemblies of God's people. There's nobody like them. And I don't believe there's anything that God himself would have except the saints gathered in his lovely name. And we've got principles, but we need to remember that those principles must be practiced. And one of the things that is needed is that there would be shepherd hearts for God's sheep. You may remember that sheep are very silly. So when the Lord chose that name, they tell me that it's one of the silliest animals out, a sheep. Never get back to the center. But always go hither and yonder. And so they need to be cared for. And you find that one of the things that might be, God forbid that I'd wander on a platform. I mean, I'd rather be shepherding sins. Because there's such a need amongst God's people today. It might not take you onto a platform. It might take you to a bedside. It might take you to some saint that is storm-tossed. Someone who's being tested. Some who are being in suffering. But let me tell you one of the qualifications, the very necessary qualification And you can look there in John chapter 21. And the first part of that chapter is taken up with catching fish. And young believer, and every one of us, let us remember that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord of the harvest. It's a wonderful thing to be in the mind of the Lord in connection with gospel meeting. But remember, He is the Lord of the harvest. When I come to Peter, I see that he must be Lord of the harvest. And I would suggest that that is the first qualification for an elder. He must be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He could be an elder and so wrapped up in business that he doesn't function as an overseer. And when that happens, you find that quite often responsibilities are passed on to a few. So we find that the Lord Jesus, He wants to be Lord of the heart. That's what Peter says, sanctify the Lord in your heart. And because of this awesome work of eldership, the Lord Jesus Christ must be crowned Lord in the heart. I'm sure at times you've been in the same situation as Peter has been in. When the Lord, He begins to test the devotion of my heart. Lovest thou these more than me? And some of our brethren will be able to tell us that there's two different words there. There's that lovely word of agape. Lovest thou me? That love of God. And Peter, in essence, says, well, Lord, you know that I like you. Lovest thou me more than these? Lord, thou knowest that I like you. And when the Lord used that word, you like me. That broke Peter's heart. And Peter said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I love you. Now, if you're ever going to be any help, and I speak to elders too, the Lord is going to have to govern your heart. And please remember, when you look to God for guidance, He only guides what He governs. It's a life that requires devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm sure I speak to elders today who have gone with devotion trying to win a wandering sheep. And I'm sure you've come away many a time like myself, quite disappointed. Our brother John made a statement at the recent Arlington conference that's been going over my mind. Willie Lavery told him, he says, John, there's some you'd love to put your arm around, but they won't let you. But nevertheless, there is a great need for elders. They need to be committed to the work of the Lord. Nothing else. We thank God there are men we can mention here, and I'll mention one of them, but you'll know many others. I miss Bill Thompson. I was a very close friend of Bill Thompson. I was in gospel meetings, and I never knew what Bill did for a business. Until one time he took us over to the island of Vancouver. And that's when I got to know. What did I know now? A godly elder amongst God's people. Yet he was a businessman. You find the things of the Lord became very necessary in his life. That's what he spent his life on. And I believe you all know that. One of the things I noticed about this chapter that that Peter speaks to the elders, he says, to them also an elder. He tells about his experiences with the Lord Jesus. He speaks of himself as a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Surely that brings before us Gethsemane. Surely that brings before us the cross. Isn't it so easy to sing Gethsemane? Can I forget? For there thy conflict see, thine agony, thy blood like spit. Not remember thee. He was a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Thank God he got a preview of his majesty. And brethren, we need to have personal experiences with our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to realize something of the suffering. We must remember that he was the good shepherd that laid down his life for the sheep. Therefore doth my Father love me. Love's always associated with the sheep. He is today, thank God, the great shepherd and glorious resurrection. But here you find Peter looks forward to that time in glorious manifestation when the chief shepherd shall come. He'll have those rewards. And then, brown little worth it all. But notice, you have others. You have the elder here with his responsibility, and he has to take verse 2, the oversight, the watching over the saints. Brethren, that's not done at a monthly meeting. We have a little meeting. I'm not saying we're heavyweights, God forbid. We have terrific need in Alaska. We get together every Saturday, every second Saturday, to speak about the needs of the assembly. But that's not sufficient. They have to be visited. You have to sit down and let them speak to you. Try and understand that some of them are just like what we've got here. You've got some of them, and you find that they're sperm tossed. Notice this here. It says here, casting all your anxiety, your care upon him, for he careth for you. When you get saints suffering in various ways, I went out the other day. Lady's professed to be saved. She's in the last stages of cancer. Husband. It's a story all in itself. But she's professed to know the Lord Jesus. And things are getting worse. When I left home, I said, Marjorie, I need your prayers. What am I going to say to these people? How am I going to meet their need? Brethren, shepherding is a work. It's not an office. It's not a position to be superior to God's people. It's not managing the things of the assembly. It's looking after the flock, the sheep, for which our blessed Savior shed his precious blood, purchased with the blood of God's own Son. They're spoken of here as a heritage. They need care. The younger ones need care. Notice this here, young believer. Submission. It says here, tells the quite, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. ye all be subject one to another. You may think that elders are out of it. Sometimes we've had our own family says, oh, Dad. You know, as if you were living in the dark ages. And after a little while, you know, you'll get talking to them and begin to understand maybe Dad knows a little bit. After all, with all his experience, I do thank God from the bottom of my heart that I had men who made a deep impression upon me. I found out when I lived in Johannesburg what an elder is. Let me tell you this. He wasn't on the so-called oversight. I had to learn that lesson. I went to a man that was on the so-called oversight. I had a great problem. My company had sent me over to supervise a big job, and it was in a brewery. A sister got to hear about it, and she said, you know, I can't listen to your ministry. And I was really, I was out there, a young man with a wife, and trying to make my way. I went to this elder, so-called, looking to him for advice. He began to tell me that he was a director in the gold mining, and he played the stock market, and he says most people knew that. He says it wouldn't go down well with them. We have to do some things, he says, to make a living. He says, now, if you want a loan of money, and I came out of there very disillusioned and disappointed young believer. I went to a man that wasn't on the oversight, so-called. And I said, Alec, he was a Scotchman. A good man, these Scotchmen. I says, Alec, I have a problem. What is it? I says, your wife told me. And I says, I wholeheartedly agree with her. But I like, what do I have to do? He told me what I needed to know, not what I wanted to hear. He says, but Tommy, I'm in a position. I'll give you help. And he did. So we learn by experience. He says, know them that labor among you. Elders have an awesome responsibility. I love my traveling brethren. I love to hear them, and I appreciate their ministry. I don't covet it. They have problems too, being on the road and here, hither, and yonder. But when we pass away, brethren, when we go off and we go back home, you're left with a problem. The elders are left to deal with a flock. Now notice one of the things here, because I'm going to close just now. It says here, and we would speak to those today, God's dear people. Verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I took a man many years ago. I led him to the Lord afterwards. He was 75 years of age. He came from away over there in Russia. And he had a bleeding gastric ulcer. I had to take him 240 miles to a hospital, over glaciers and one thing and another. When I got him there, the doctor says, you've got a hot potato here. I thought, hot potato? What's the man talking about? But you know, afterwards I began to think of it. I was sure glad to get that man off my hands. It could have been that he died in the car. Now what would I do? I was glad to hand him over. And the doctor says he's a hot potato. Brethren, that's the word here. It's too hot. It's too heavy. Dear stormed, tossed saint, it's too heavy for you. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I want you to notice who it is that cares for you. Look at the end of chapter 2. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. The last verse in chapter 4. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their soul to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. That's the one that cares for you. This is one, dear brothers and sisters, that his care is the greatest care. I was talking to a young brother here about his dad, and he's in one of these medical health or one of these societies, and they're cutting down on expenses, and people are not getting the medical attention that they need. But here you find one, and his care is a profound care. How has he cared for you up to the present? Do we not read in chapter 1 that he has redeemed us by his precious blood? Didn't he care for us long as we sing with the children? Long before I knew him, Jesus thought of me. Where did he go? He went to Calvary. Shed his precious blood. Why? He was interested in my precious soul. He cared for my precious soul. Notice also, it tells me here, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. It's a lovely thing, isn't it? And some of us have been there when loved ones are sick. The nurses are very, very busy. And the loved one is glad to have us give our personal attention, our personal care. It's the shepherd. It's the Creator. You know, sometimes, brethren, I think we limit ourselves. He's a faithful Creator. Think of all that, the glory of his creatorial glory. I look out and I see all this. Sometimes I go for a walk along the little walk we have there near the house. And we do use egg cups in our house. I like an egg cup for an egg. And when I think, I go down there and I think there's the whole ocean, all those beautiful mountains, Mount McKinley out there in all its grandeur. This is the one that cares for me. The faithful Creator. And I can take my egg cup down there to the coastal trail, and there's the mighty ocean there, and I can fill my little egg cup, and you know that's what I believe my little heart is.
It's filled so easy. But the one that cares for me is not only the shepherd of the sheep, but he's the great creator of this universe. Do you believe that? I believe it. And what does he want you to know? That it's his own personal care. And when it's personal care, and some of you have been there, and some of you are going through it, and you have my sympathy in these things. But you know, it gives you a joy in the midst of sorrow when you're able to give personal care to the one that you love. And the Lord Jesus Christ loved us so much that he went to the place called Calvary and shed his blood to redeem us unto himself. So this is what the Lord wants us to realize, that no matter what situation you are in, whether you be young, whether you be old, and please remember, the storms come. We're going away from this conference. I remember going away from a conference a number of years ago. Little did I know the storm that lay ahead. We know not what a day may bring forth, but thank God I know this, and you can know it. I know the personal care of the shepherd of the sheep. I know the personal care of a faithful creator. And what does God want me to do in these situations? And I pass it on to you. Get into the presence of the Lord and don't leave his presence until you honestly have taken your burden and cast it upon the one that cares for you. Now you notice that he is the chief shepherd. And we are just the under shepherds. And it's an awesome work. It's a needed work amongst God's assemblies. I don't go through them, but I'm sure our brethren here, Brother Crawford, would know better than some of us the great need of shepherds amongst God's people. May the Lord bless his word for his name's sake.